Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen, and we are here to send some edification your way.
Amen.
Are you ready, Sister Amen?
I am. I'm here.
I want to talk about...
What are you going
to
talk
today
about?
Today we went and we had to get something done, and we came past this place, and I was like, what is going on over there? And we looked, and it was all these old people walking around in this green field... dressed in white uniforms.
It was really
They look like painters or something. I don't know.
Or beekeepers.
Beekeepers.
They actually looked like a weird
all white. White hats, white shirts, white shoes, white pants. And I'm like, what's going on over there? It turned out, we drove by and we pulled in the parking lot. We stopped and I took some videos. We stopped at a croquet club. That's where you hit the little ball with a little hammer and you got to push it, hit it through like a U-shaped thing to make points. These old people wasting their lives down here in Florida, probably a lot of them are wealthy, and that's all they do is walk around in their little white suits playing croquet. And it made me think of Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what? I'm no better than those people. I used to waste my life on a lot of idle, foolish things like hockey and hunting, fishing, all that stuff. So I got to be careful. I'm not saying I'm better than them, but I was just praising God that he delivered me from that idle waste of time. I'm just glad I don't waste my time anymore. All to his glory. Otherwise, I'd be doing it. But it made me sad for him.
You know,
they're like the walking dead.
Oh, I know. You know, it's funny you say that because I've been really pondering a lot how... we see people doing things, whether it's sin or idleness, and we go, wow, look at that. That's like, today that was a little insane.
Yeah.
And when we say that, we're not going, wow, look at those sinners out there wasting their time. It's not what we're doing. We just see what we used to be.
Yeah, we're kind of marveling at what we've come out of.
And we're on the other side of it, looking at it, how ridiculous we used to be.
Yeah. When you're in your sin and you're enjoying it, you don't see it. When you get out of your sin and your heart's made new and you're a new creation, then you look back at that sin and go, wow, that's horrid.
Oh, I know. And so it's not the person per se that this is all directed at. It's the action.
So I was standing at the gate and one of the guys walked up and asked me if he could help me. And I asked him about it. And I thought the club was open. I was going to walk through and preach to him, but it wasn't. It was the wrong day to be open to go do that. But he did get a gospel card.
Nice.
And I said, yeah, check this out. And he took it and... I remember when I was a kid, we used to play croquet. My dad bought a set at a garage sale. And we used to smack the ball around in the backyard.
My grandma had one we used to
play. But these people do it, and I mean, they take it so serious. They score, and they dress up that way, and they have teams. And these people are in their 60s and 70s, don't have much time left in life.
I know.
It's just one of those things that, it's another thing that Satan uses to distract people, deceive people. Lust of the eyes, pride of life, you know, all these things. Oh, George and Margaret are in the croquet club. We've got to join too. And then they go get caught up in it all and waste their time on it.
It's
so
such a wicked culture.
Yeah, I kind of saw that. And that was kind of bringing me back to how I used to waste my life. And I was just thankful to the Lord that I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm thankful that he called me to do a greater work.
Amen. And it's not the publican Pharisee thing we're talking about here either.
No. No, I don't think I'm any better than those people.
No, not at all.
But their eyes just aren't open, and you hope that you can reach some of them. That's why we go and we preach, so that you can reach them with the truth to open their eyes so they can turn.
Yeah, you know that's interesting?
What?
You know what one of my points is? Kind of fits in right here.
What's that?
Balancing out the warning and the inviting.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's my note on here. So we're not thinking we're better than anybody because we were that.
Yep.
It wasn't even that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
We were in more sin in our lives than we were for years worth in the Lord.
Yeah.
And so...
it's by the Spirit of God that you see it and come out.
Right. And it is a sad thing to see people who are... they're just blindly wasting their time and... not even realizing it until you get on the other side to see the enormity of it.
I wish somebody would have told me. I wish somebody would have... nobody ever preached the gospel to me. Nobody ever told me I was wasting my life.
Oh,
nobody ever showed me the gospel in the better way. So
right.
I want to see those people. I want to see that false way that they're doing, and I want to be able to tell them the difference.
Yeah.
Rebuke and correct them so they can turn and find eternal life. Now,
right,
the ones that scorn and don't want it, okay, that's for you. You have not eyes to see or ears to hear.
But today...
for the ones that want to hear.
But maybe some other day they might.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just thinking about warning and I can't even read. Inviting.
Inviting.
I just got my notes. Balance out warning and inviting. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, and 9. You know this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use this in the streets a lot. Inflaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord with the glory of his power. And that's what we want to warn people of.
Yeah.
And it's not to, like we said, we're not like sitting here saying, we're warning you because we're better than you and God's going to punish you.
Right.
No, it's one of those, hey, we love you. We're warning you. Yeah, if you don't repent, this is going to happen.
We know the cost. We know what the other side is all about. We were over there about 16 years ago.
Yeah. And then, so here, this is the other side, Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Right, yeah.
And so we want to invite these people in. Obviously, they have to repent.
Yeah. They gotta want to lose this life to find the new one.
Right. And even if you give somebody the gospel today and they don't heed it, we don't know what seeds are planted in them that God may water someday down the road.
Yeah. And that's what's so dangerous about the church system today. Many of these people will be in a Sunday church system that tells them you can be of God and do all your idolatrous worldly things too. And that's what's so dangerous. When we show up and we say, no, you can't, you got to repent and come to Christ. They go, we got it already. Get out of here. They have a placebo. They have a false Jesus, a false gospel. That's what's so dangerous about it. It replaces the real and the original that can save them with a false savior that cannot save them. And then they think they don't need nothing else.
Yeah. They don't have eyes.
It's
or
great
ears.
Danger. Yeah.
It also made me think of the goodness and severity. Cause we're talking about both ends of the spectrum.
Romans 11:22.
Yeah. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them, which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off.
Yeah. There's that endurance. Yeah. You gotta keep going.
Right.
Yeah. Today we have a young brother that's on a journey, a long journey. I won't go into all the details of that, but he's on a long journey and we've been talking about his journey, how his journey's going, and made me think about the journeys in the Bible. Romans 15:24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust you will see me in my journey and to be brought to my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So Paul's talking about his journeys he would take. Did I say that word thitherward right? How do you say that word?
I'm trying to look for thitherward. I guess so.
Thitherward. That's a weird English word. Anyway, Paul's talking about his journeys that he takes for the Lord. And I just started thinking about journeys, and it's like everybody's on a journey, whether you're in the Lord or not. Have you thought about that, Sister? I mean, people, a lot of people are on a journey through this world and they're experiencing all kinds of spiritual things and fleshly things, like those people we just talked about, worldly things. They're on a journey, and their journey's going to lead them to the wrath of God.
Yeah, if they don't repent,
And then you got people that are in the church systems, they think they're following their Savior, but it's a false Savior, and their journey's going to take them to hear, away from me, I never knew you.
Right.
And then you have the people of God that are truly, like Paul, talking about a journey for the Lord. So I just started thinking about that journey, and I hope that all of us ponder, what journey are we on, and more importantly, where's that journey going to take us?
Yeah, to the kingdom of God.
That's the goal.
That would be the goal.
So hopefully you ponder your journey and what you're on. A lot of people say, I'm on a spiritual journey. Well, be careful. Where's it going to lead?
Wherever their heart leads.
Yeah, because you know
where
what?
Their spiritual journey is coming from, their heart and their mind.
Yeah, because if you're driving on a bridge that's out, I'm on a journey. That out bridge is going to lead you right over to destruction.
Yeah.
So a journey isn't always a good thing.
No, huh?
Depends which direction you're going.
Right.
Repent and turn.
You want to be on that journey with the path that has righteousness and truth that you're
Amen.
Walking on.
And follow Christ, yeah.
Yeah.
What points do you have for us today? What thoughts? What insights? What edification do you have, Sister Amma?
I don't know. I just got some bullet points here.
Points. Go for it.
I don't know. Scripture verse, a brother was reading in Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?
Sounds like repentance to me.
Yeah, it does.
Turn.
And it shows the compassion of God, that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes along with what we were talking about. We don't take pleasure in rebuking. We don't take pleasure in trying to show somebody all their sins. We don't take pleasure in it. It's a good and right thing to do for the saving of their soul, but...
Yeah. 2 Peter 3:9, God wants none to perish.
Yeah.
So we don't take pleasure in it. The whole goal is redemption.
Right.
It's why we go to tell the good news that people will hear it and decide they want to change. A man just told me he heard my preaching. He knew it was right. And God's spirit pricked his heart and convicted him. And now he knows he has to move towards the truth. That's the goal. That's what we go for.
Right.
And I preach the same way to him that I preach to everyone else.
Yep.
But he heard it different. So people with ears to hear and eyes to see, they hear it different. It's not my different preaching. It's the same message. But most people hate it and ignore it. And some people are drawn right to it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the Bible says will happen. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
What else, Sister Omen?
Well, we're in alligator country.
Alligator country, yeah.
We've seen a couple of
them. Yeah, we've seen a couple big ones already.
Yeah.
Not that we were looking for them. We're just flying down the highway. We saw them.
Yeah. And I was thinking about how alligators, when they're in the water, you might see just a little bump of their snout and their eyes. And they're like
creeping
along in the water. It made me think of snakes, you know, sneaking around in a lion, crouched down, waiting to get you. You probably know what I'm going to read now. 1 Peter 5:8 is one of them I wanted to read.
Yeah.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Nice.
And I have a couple.
Good scripture verse. Good wisdom there to remember.
Yeah, and a couple about false teachers, because they kind of remind me of that, you know. The ones.
Oh, yeah, they're always lurking.
Yeah. 2 Peter 2:1-3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then another one, 2 Peter 2:18-19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, that really says a lot, doesn't it?
Swelling words
of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean, escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, and the same he is brought in bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch on false teachers out there that they're like sneaky.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get your soul.
Like the snake in the garden.
Them. Yeah.
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 The deception and the corruption is all around. And how you avoid it is you know the word of God, you follow the spirit of God, you be born of God. And as Jesus said in Matthew 24, the elect will not be deceived.
Mm-mm.
Lots of deception around.
Right.
Yeah.
I have one more.
Go for it.
But oh, okay. I didn't know if you did. So here's one we're just sharing about somebody that we knew that we tried to help. I'm just going to say this and then read the... Well, I'm going to read the scripture verse first and then say what it is. Luke 18:22-23. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Ye lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and do... distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And we've seen this a lot in people, and here's just one example. A man who was willing to lose his wife and his riches, but not his surfboard.
Yeah. Yeah, we met a man out when I was out witnessing at a Denton food store, and him and his wife were very zealous for the truth. And then she didn't like what it takes to follow Christ. And ultimately, she ended up getting mad and left him for a couple days. He invites us to his homestead. We did camp there at his place.
In our van, yeah.
And he was very nice, and everything was going great. And he seemed like he wanted the things of God, and he was talking about all the holiness and everything he needed to do.
Yeah.
And then basically, when it got to his surfboard, He said, you don't think a man of God could be surfing? And I said, what's a man of God doing with a surfboard? Well, how does that further the kingdom of God? He just looked up in the sky, and it was like a light switched on him.
Yep.
And from that moment on, he was a different man. He was gone, and we never had the same connection. He ended up challenging everything that I taught and being wicked. And as far as I know, he's no further now than he was 2 or 3 years ago. Backwards, I think. He also was involved in some guy that was in mysticism. I tried to warn him about that. But yeah, the surfboard.
But he also had money.
Yeah.
So he's willing to lose his wife. She packed up and left as soon as it came to personal holiness for women. And he had money that he was willing. He knew, you know.
But he died. He died on the hill of a surfboard, his flesh. We talked about the parable of the talents today. We met in a park and we had a little bit of a Bible study. And Jesus said that the riches of the world carry them away. Riches can be more than money. It could be what you desire, and like a surfboard.
Whatever's valuable.
That surfboard made his life rich for some reason.
You know what's crazy about the whole thing? This man lives almost smack dab in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
There's no ocean around.
Yeah.
You have to travel to the West Coast.
He grew up
in
California. It's in his blood.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
Yeah, foolishness of man's flesh.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll sweep you away. Tomorrow, if the Lord wills, we're going to go and stand outside. I won't give it away. We're going to stand outside a tourist place on a busy street, and we're going to fly our gospel signs and preach the gospel. You know where I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're gonna go out. We're going to do that. We're excited about that because it's we've had quite a bit of rain and stuff rolling through the area. And then this weekend, we got a contemporary Christian music concert to go to. Stand out and preach at. We're not going to the concert.
Mm-mm.
That's going to be interesting. A lot of young people. We'll see how many seekers will be there. A lot of deception in the Christian music industry. You know, if you think about it, Christian music is like a drug. Any music's a drug. But the Christian music that I'm focused on here is like a drug because it makes people dance and jump around and get all excited and they feel like they love Jesus so much until you tell them they got to obey God's word and they go, what? I don't want to do that. You're a legalist. They want to love this false Jesus, this fleshly music, this jumping up and down, smoke and lights and dancing, but they don't want to love Christ of the scriptures.
No, you know what just came into my mind? When I was first born again, probably within, it was weeks, whatever, I was just brand new, hadn't even got all the way through the scriptures and understanding it. I'm driving down the road, and I'm pounding this wicked, nasty, vile rap music in my head. Wicked, nasty. And I pull in the driveway, and all of a sudden, it hit me like a light. I was like, wow, I don't think God wants me to listen to this. So as I pulled in there and parked the car, I flipped the station to find a so-called Christian radio station, and guess what? That music sounded almost like what I was listening to.
Yeah, it wasn't much different.
But I listened to it for a while because I didn't know any better. But I'm just saying the comparison was exactly the same.
Yeah, they use the things of the world to woo the so-called Christians into their church buildings. And this particular one we're going to has rap music. It has all kinds of worldly, carnal music. It's all built on hype and flesh. And the joy of the Holy Spirit doesn't give you anything like that. Jumping up and down, fleshly entertainment. People are full of pride and vanity on the stage. Multimillionaires selling the things of God. No, that none of that's about God.
No, and you know, music makes you become who you want to be.
Yeah.
If you want to be angry and tough, it'll get you there. If you want to be sad and depressed and melancholy, it'll get you there. You want to be upbeat and happy and joyful, it'll get you there. Yeah, whatever you want to be, it'll be for you.
We're thankful we get to stand out and just remind people this is not of God and point them in the right direction. And as we talked about,
if they
have ears to hear and eyes to see, it will prick someone's conscience.
Yeah.
If not, God was glorified.
And we hope to be a light to somebody in there. We'll be willing servants.
Amen. Yeah. That's what we go for. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Anything Lord else, Sister Amon, or do you have a scripture verse?
I do. I think, was there only one time I forgot that?
What?
One time I think I forgot a scripture verse.
Oh, yeah.
Verse, but
not
I got
very
it
often.
Again, every night I want to make sure I can say yes.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it.
Hey, that reminds me. We gathered and I just did a teaching on blameless.
Yep.
Be blameless or you're hopeless. check that out. It'll be on the edification tab. Yeah, being blameless. Christ makes that possible, and then we follow him and obey him and walk as blameless as we can for God's glory.
Yeah.
That's a great, great gift that we get.
For he is worthy.
Amen. I'm going to read 1 John 4, 3 and 4. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I really like that verse. That was one of my favorite verses when I started learning the scriptures. Greater is he that's in us by the Holy Spirit than he that is in the world. That should make us want to walk and be bold and be strong and be courageous and preach the gospel.
Yeah, it makes us to be like a David against Goliath.
Amen.
I love that. We can just walk through this world and God is over all. He's in us.
Amen.
That's amazing. I love that.
Well, that's what we have for you today. I hope that you are all, as that Bible verse just said, 1 John 4:4, overcoming. Because we're studying through the book of Revelation, and it talks about being an overcomer. He's going to reward those that overcome, and they get their name put in the Lamb's Book of Life.
And how can we overcome him?
By the blood of the Lamb.
And?
By the word of our testimony.
And
we better not love our life unto death.
Amen. Praise God.
Revelation 12:11, one of our favorite verses. Yeah.
It is. I love that one.
All right. Strive on. Overcome in Christ. He's worthy. Love you all. More edification to come, and hopefully some interesting witnessing coming up this weekend. We'll get some more witnessing videos and audios up for the glorification of God and for the edification of the saints and to the saving of people's souls.
Right.
Hold fast.
May God be praised.